On Mastery. Part 3. Master of What? The arena of a master musician or golfer is clear, but when someone is said to have mastery involving the unseen, careful discernment is needed. If someone is said to be a master, it's good to ask, Master of what? Claims of the existence of masters or adepts with phenomenal powers and longevity have proliferated since the writings of Helena P. Blavatsky rocked the materialistic world. She described them as magicians with various grades of knowledge and skill. She met adepts from many races and continents and said they could be either good or evil. Indeed, we have long heard of white magic and black magic, saints and sorcerers. A fakir in Calcutta created much ado acquiring anything he wanted, including jewelry or train tickets. They just disappeared from the owner shortly after he touched them. He had mastered certain techniques and was able to control an astral spirit, and simply commanded the spirit to bring him whatever he wanted. His teacher had cautioned him to use his ability only for good, but he went astray. Eventually, his teacher came to him as an old man, and the fakir stole his only wealth. The teacher chastised him and removed most of his power. The fakir repented and wrote a public confession in the newspaper, warning people against seeking miraculous powers. Having power over a spirit does not mean that one is a spiritual master. If something is spiritual, it leads us toward goodness, toward our source. It doesn't necessarily lead us toward pleasure, wealth, or power. It doesn't lead toward pride or self-aggrandizement. It inclines us toward compassion with wisdom and good judgment, toward awareness of unity. It inspires benevolent intent, and then, with the addition of observation and intelligence, toward actions that actually have a benevolent result. Discerning what is good is not trivial, for sometimes what is really best can be destructive or painful. If an adept magician is said to be a spiritual master, is the person actually spiritual, unselfish, aiming and acting toward goodness for all? Are the goals and the results good or harmful? An adept magician may or may not be spiritually advanced, may be pursuing selfish or unselfish goals, and may or may not have further need for reincarnation. Some benevolent souls, called bodhisattvas, vow to renounce heaven and keep incarnating until every human soul is free from rebirth. Adept magicians are souls like we are, pursuing their own development and goals. They may be much more advanced than we are, spiritually or in knowledge. They may be enlightened in various ways. They may be saintly, benefiting their community and the whole world. They may have realized that their essence is divine. However, an adept magician is not a perfect divine incarnation, what the Vedas call an avatar, meaning descent. An avatar is not a human soul pursuing development or even an enlightened human being, but rather one that has always known its fully divine nature. Avatars are extremely rare. The Vedas predict 10 in total, and Christianity acknowledges one alone. An avatar can be considered a spiritual master, but a master is not an avatar. A human master may be godlike or saintly, but is not God with a capital G. There is much confusion because when people hear of masters, they tend to assume that all masters have the godlike qualities of goodness we expect of our benevolent Creator or a divine Savior. The result is that masters, adept magicians, and even people with paranormal abilities have basically been deified, with or without their assent. Adept magicians exist the world over. Some work toward the spiritual progress of humanity and of life, and others work toward acquiring power, personal enjoyment at any cost, harming enemies, or toward a socio-political agenda. Both can exhibit mastery. However, only the first is aptly termed a spiritual master. Immortality and miracles, events for which most of us don't know the mechanism, are the main attraction of masters. Many so-called masters have come and gone, sometimes after scandals or wreaking havoc. How are we to discern whether someone is a spiritual master, an adept magician, a well-meaning but deluded leader, or a charismatic charlatan? It is crucial to distinguish an adept or master who is truly spiritual, aiming and guiding towards spiritual progress, from an adept or master who aims and guides toward mastery of techniques or magical knowledge. Our attitudes, behavior, and relationships with these two types, both masters and both often called spiritual masters, ought to be very different. Deep respect, perhaps reverence, is due to the first, deference to the second. Contracts and payment are absent with the first and appropriate with the second. Obedience to the first is appropriate, with caution regarding whether we are hearing correctly. Obedience only to a morally sound instruction is appropriate to the second. Submission to the first is appropriate and spiritually safe. Limited submission is appropriate to the second. Silence may be encouraged by the first. Secrecy may be demanded by the second. Masters who are not spiritual can help us to acquire various types of knowledge and abilities. Knowledge can be used for good or ill, intentionally or unintentionally, by students or by masters. Spiritual masters might not lead us toward greater psychic ability, personal power, wealth, or comfort. They do always lead us toward goodness and truth, toward our divine source.